It's time for You Oughta Know, a weekly conversation about all things automotive with your host, Toby Edmonds.
Toby.
Good morning, Mike.
How you doing?
Good. How are you?
I'm pretty well. That's a good connection we have. You went away for a little bit, and now you're back. And did you learn things where you went?
Oh, yes, of course. I always do.
Is that worth a quick summary, or are we going to go on to a topic that you have otherwise identified?
This time, probably. I was teaching a marketing class is what I was teaching.
Oh, okay.
So I went down to California, and I was in Pomona for the first 3 days for a convention. And as expected, we discussed autonomous vehicles and how technology was impacting, training for technicians and how to get training and that kind of stuff for the independent field. And then we went up to Glendale for the rest of the time, and that's where I was teaching a marketing class.
So the autonomous vehicle thing, now that you've been in a place where my understanding, a lot of this development is happening, a lot of firms that are focused on this are down there, and they are firms that are not necessarily associated with many people's minds with vehicles. It might be a Google or an Apple from time to time, or one or the other. So what are people saying?
It's basically like we talked about before. It's not a matter of if; it's just a matter of when. And in fact, while I was down there, I went and visited a Tesla dealership, one of the new Tesla dealerships, and learned something really, really cool. All the new Teslas are actually already equipped with everything they need in order to be autonomous. They're self-driving already. Tesla is just simply waiting for it to be legal. And once it becomes legalized, all they have to do is flip a switch, and all those vehicles that are already out there on the road will suddenly become autonomous.
Oh, wow. And by autonomous, given the Tesla situation, the owner, driver, still has the option to say yes or no to that. Is that true?
Yes, that is true.
It's because some of the images that I've seen of vehicles that look a little strange don't seem to have that option.
I know for sure that the Teslas, they have that option. You can choose to either drive the vehicle, or you can choose to have it drive itself. There's over the vehicle, and in fact, I saw one of the cameras, but all the rest of them were very well hidden.
Oh, okay.
With the Teslas, you do still have the option to remain in control of the vehicle.
Right, and I'm just thinking, though, that some other examples, it seems that the movement is to, if you are a driver, or for that matter, if the vehicle comes and picks you up without a driver, there may not be much you can do to take over and actually drive it yourself. But that's another direction of the autonomous vehicle development.
Yeah, if you're talking about like the group ride share that's being in kind of, checked into by Google, I believe Apple is doing it too. Because that is something else we did talk about is the way that it's called a group share with cars.
And right.
You don't own the vehicle. It's something that you can. It's basically like carpooling, but with vehicles that are completely and absolutely self-driving.
Right.
And so that way it's you have a share of a car. You don't own the entire car. You have a group share with other people, and then that vehicle is scheduled to be used or to pick you up and take you to work. On an as-needed basis.
Okay. Well, I know someone who was visiting in Hawaii and went stopped in at a Tesla dealership and sat in the vehicle and looked at it and discovered that it has a place for storage both in the rear and in the front, as
yep.
it turns out, because you don't have a large engine sitting there occupying the
Most of it is built underneath the vehicle and is protected by a very thick, very sturdy metal shield.
Okay. So did you sit in one of them and say, oh?
I sat in one and definitely said, oh. One of my friends actually test drove it, though.
Okay.
You know, they were actually really cool. You know, they were very excited to tell us about their cars and all about them. And even though we told them that we weren't going to be walking out of there today with a Tesla, they still were more than happy to set us up with a test drive. And I unfortunately couldn't go on the test drive because it was going to I was teaching while they were
okay.
The appointment time, but it's an incredible company with an incredible car. And my friend, who is actually, he teaches precision driving, so he definitely knows cars and he definitely knows how to drive. And he was very, very impressed by the Tesla that he drove.
Okay. Well, I look toward the future here. I keep watching the used Tesla market and feeling that maybe one day the price will drop down within reach.
that would be very nice, yes.
Okay, so on to your topics. You've picked them. Go for it.
Actually, I was going to talk about the Teslas. It just kind of came up, a little bit sooner than I had anticipated, but I was going to talk about Tesla and my experience with the dealership and how impressive the company actually is. I don't know if you read in the news, but I was reading two days ago about how Tesla sent down their new Powerwall batteries.
Oh, yes, right.
Sent hundreds of them down to Puerto Rico to kind of help with the situation that they have down there with having absolutely no power for the entire area. And, you know, this is right on the heels of when Tesla also downloaded software to the cars down in Florida, allowing their drivers to escape the hurricane even faster by extending the range of their batteries. I just can't say enough about how impressed I am with not only with the cars, but also the concept of the company and their repeated decisions to be of help and of service to people. I mean, it's really quite, it's amazing. And I was very impressed by what they did.
Well, of course, when you have a situation where you're a company that not only builds vehicles, but you're associated by having a cousin that is SpaceX that flies rockets into space, and also a battery company, et cetera. These are all interconnected kinds of things.
Absolutely, and it's funny because we've talked about this before too. You know, Elon Musk's his background is not in automotive; it's batteries.
You know,
that's what Tesla, what he's always been about with batteries, and he actually created Tesla to build a car around his battery. And I find that to be very, very unique because, I mean, obviously it's usually the other way around. You know, you have an automotive company, first and foremost, that has an engine that they want to build a car around. You know, it's not, you know, I have a battery and I want to build a car for my battery. I mean, and I'm not even an automotive company he's a battery guy.
Sure.
And so I find that concept to be really astounding. And then the way that they have their dealership set up is also quite creative. You know, their dealerships are really, there's no middleman. I mean, you know, there's lots of dealerships are, you know, independently owned and they're like, basically they have, yes, it's like a Volkswagen or it's a Ford dealership. And that's what they sell, but they're owned by, independently. Tesla dealerships, nobody owns them except for Tesla. So you're buying a car directly from Tesla when you go in there to purchase a vehicle. And, you know, all of their cars, another thing I learned is that all of their cars are pretty much essentially exactly the same. the only difference between the packages, you know, as you buy like higher end models or you buy the base model,
right,
is the amount of options that they turn on in the vehicle.
Oh.
So, yep, all the batteries are the same. Everything is the same. It's just that when you buy a Tesla, you're basically adding on options. And so they'll be kind of like, well, you bought this package, so we're going to turn this switch on, and you bought this package over here, so we're going to turn that option on. But, you know, you didn't buy this long-range package for your battery, so we're not going to turn that option on. And that's how they were ultimately able to just download software into the Teslas as they were trying to escape the hurricane, is that all the cars had that ability to go that range, but it was just not with the package that was purchased with the vehicle, so it wasn't turned on. So when people were trying to escape, Tesla downloaded the software, and then selling those batteries had that ability to go those extra 100 miles or whatever it is and allow them to escape faster.
Oh, okay. Well, I saw two recent references to Mr. Musk, and one of them that makes the speed of most vehicles seem really, really slow. And this is a speech he gave in Australia last Friday, where he has suggested traveling by rocket at a speed of maybe 18,000 miles per hour, so that you go from New York to Shanghai in maybe 39 minutes.
And, mm-hmm.
So many of his descriptions of a direction, a goal that he has, seem outsized and fantastic. On the other hand, I think many people would have earlier on, and I think back to the time when Tesla as an automobile manufacturer first arrived, people thought, who is this guy? I mean, he's never built an automobile. How could an electric, how could that ever work? But he's certainly shaken up the industry.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely, he has. And, they talk about the Hyperloop system. And, you know, like what you just kind of described, but it's like on a, you know, it's a train, Hyperloop system. And so traveling from L.A. to New York in, you know, 30 minutes or less or whatever it is, it's something just completely mind-boggling for us right now to try and comprehend this form of transportation. But it really, once you start reading about it and really learn about it, you realize it's not really all that far out there in left field. It, in a weird way, it does make sense. And the concept of it is not only very exciting, but, you know, it can be a little frightening, too. I mean, it's something that is, you know, just like when Tesla developed their cars, and, you know, just like you said, you know, you have the big three, Ford, Chevy, and Dodge going, okay, yeah, right. You know, this new guy is going to come in here and thinking that he can just sell these battery-powered cars, and he thinks he's going to be successful at it. Yeah, right, whatever. And then all of a sudden, he was selling a ton of them. And then, you know, everybody started getting a little concerned, like, you know, maybe he's onto something. And so, you know, we started seeing this increase of high, you know, more manufacturers creating hybrids or just straight up just electric cars themselves. And the battery has always been the downfall of these cars, because batteries are still very expensive to make. They're still very dirty. Disposal is a huge issue. And purchasing, like I have a person who's going through an issue right now with smart car, was trying to replace the battery in their smart car, and it's a $25,000 battery.
It seems bizarre, you know? Very often, yeah. Speaking of batteries and Mr. Musk, there's another piece that's emerged you may be aware of, that in Australia, South Australia, Musk is building the world's largest lithium ion battery. And he said that it was not completed within 100 days, he wouldn't charge for it.
Wow.
And so, it's over half finished at the present time, and it looks like he is going to be paid. It is going to be finished. And there we go. and this was going to be in part a demonstration battery, but it's going to be paired apparently to a wind farm in that area, and it's a big deal. And I guess that's part of what all of these things seem to be, is they seem to be outsized and ambitious and exciting, but they also have proven to be very often successful.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, very, very, very interesting aspect of it. So we know that here in Alaska, we occasionally see a Tesla. I have not yet. I keep checking from time to time to see something about their power walls, because the power wall battery as a backup for your house or your business and tied in with perhaps an electric vehicle and all the rest seems to be moving us in a direction that would free us from a grid system. And in particular, when you mentioned Puerto Rico earlier, say, okay, maybe, just maybe, there will evolve a plan in Puerto Rico that would result in more localized power development that wouldn't be so dependent upon a grid that could be destroyed as this one has in Hurricane Maria.
You know, that's entirely possible. From what I understand, we're talking about total devastation down there, which is very, very sad. But it's also possibly an opportunity to kind of redo things and maybe do it differently and maybe come out better than it was prior. Because prior to the hurricanes, it was, pretty well known that their power company was overtaxed, didn't have enough money. There was very frequent blackouts or brownouts. And it was a problem to begin with. And now hopefully with Tesla or Elon Musk sending down those power walls, hundreds of power walls, batteries for people, maybe it'll kind of give them an opportunity to do things better. And as you said, make things a lot more localized, streamline and make it more efficient.
It seems to me to be something like what happened with telephone communications, in remote areas, places where there were no long lines of copper that had been strung, cell phone towers, etc., rapidly moved people into the ability to communicate without having the kind of infrastructure that was the original, even here in the Valley, for example, that built out communication, and then has been, in some ways, not only augmented, but superseded by cell phones.
It is a distinct possibility for sure, and it's something to definitely keep an eye on.
Okay. So I always like to ask you, when you made these trips, did you drive something different? Were you able to rent a vehicle that gave you exposure to something that you hadn't been exposed to before?
I did not rent anything this time, but one of my best friends who was down there with me decided to splurge a little bit and rented a 2017 Mustang GTH, the Hertz Edition Mustang. Car was incredible. It was incredible. It was an incredible driving experience. It sounded incredible, and believe it or not, the car was actually very comfortable to ride in.
Okay, so you got to ride in it.
Yes. He offered to let me drive it, but I was not necessarily feeling like it at that point, because that car is meant to be driven. It's something that was I actually considered possibly a little bit above and beyond my skill set for what he was wanting to. There's a road down there in the area that we frequent quite a bit. It's called Angeles Crest Highway. And if you ever see like photo shoots from like Motor Trend magazine and Road and Track and all that, Angeles Crest is filmed and photographed quite frequently. It's a very well-known highway for motor enthusiasts. And we were out there, and he was driving, because once again, this is my friend that is, he teaches precision driving. So when he drives, it is driving. And it was an incredible experience to feel that much power, and yet trying to break it loose as you're going around these corners was almost impossible. I mean, the thing held the road very, very well.
And I'm going to guess when you say splurge, the cost for such a vehicle, and I've seen when I look at the rental list, these higher quality and very definitely higher priced vehicles that are available that are beyond the quality of your ordinary Mercedes, perhaps, or whatever. So I'm guessing this was an expensive proposition.
Yes, it was an expensive proposition. It was. I didn't want to ask exactly how much, but I knew it was well above the 30 mark.
Okay. Well,
it was quite a. But it, you know, honestly, you know, if you ever have the opportunity to rent something like that, it's well worth it, in my opinion, just because it does give you an opportunity to drive something different and have a new driving experience without necessarily having to commit to something like that, because it was an incredible car. I'm not the world's biggest Ford fan, but something like this, I think that I would have definitely given deep consideration to if given the opportunity to purchase something like this.
Okay. So I'm switching back very quickly. Teslas are not available for rent. Is that true or not? Or do you know?
You know, I don't know. But now that you mention it, I have never seen one available as an option for a rental. And I think I would be surprised now that you asked that, I would be surprised if you could rent one, just because of how selective they are when you purchase one. I mean, you have to be approved, not just financially to purchase one, but also they want to make sure that you're right for the car, and that you have, because they do, instead of spending a lot of money on research and development, their cars, once they're developed and approved to a certain extent, I mean, they go right to market. So their customers are doing their research and development. One of the questions that was asked by the group I was with is, because I brought up the smart car earlier, and you know, putting a $25,000 battery in a car that was only, you know, a little over $20,000 to purchase in the first place. He was asking about the batteries and how much the batteries cost when you have to replace them. And Tesla, the salesman looked right at him and said, you know, I don't know. We've never had one go back when the car was outside of warranty, so we've never had to sell one. It does not have a price tag attached to it.
Oh, that's impressive. That's very impressive.
That's very impressive.
Okay.
Yep.
Well, let's ask you the big question then, as we're coming to the close. Is there anything else you'd like to talk about, Toby, before we finish today?
Just winter's coming up. Make sure you're getting those winter tires prepped and prepared. Don't wait until the last second to have them put on. Make sure that your tire experience is as pleasant as possible, and get ahead of the curve of people rushing in to get their tires put on. In fact, I was kind of halfway expecting snow to be on the ground when I got back, and as much as I am pleasantly surprised to see that is not the case, the fact of the matter is it's come in, and if I'm reading the weather correctly, I don't think we have too much longer before the snow actually hits.
Right, and then we will have a chance to talk about other things like batteries and all the rest. Okay, well, thank you, Toby Edmonds, for calling in today.
Thank you, Mike.
Have a good day.
You too. Bye-bye.
You've been listening to You Oughta Know with Toby Edmonds. This program is a production of Radio Free Palmer, Big Cabbage Radio, recorded at our studios in Palmer, Alaska. The views and opinions of moderators and guests do not necessarily represent those of Radio Free Palmer, this station, or its underwriters. If you have any comments or questions, please email manager@radiofreepalmer.org.